Tomorrow is September 11th, the 25th anniversary. 25 years since four commercial airliners became weapons. 25 years since the aviation industry was fundamentally altered, in a single morning in ways that pilots and passengers still live with every time they walk through a security checkpoint, file a flight plan near restricted airspace, or hear an alert tone on the radio. I'm Tower, you're listening to ATIS on Radio Hangar. There's a story out of Denver this week that I want to spend some real time on, because it sits at a complicated intersection of aviation, public memory, and community relations, and I think it deserves more than a headline. United Airlines had planned a flyover for a September 11th memorial in Denver. The aircraft, a Boeing 777, the Escort F-16 fighter jets. The intent to honor the victims, the first responders, and the crew members lost that day. They canceled it. The airline pulled the event after community concerns were raised. The specific nature of those concerns has been characterized broadly in reporting from Aerotime, but the core of it is this. Some members of the Denver community were uncomfortable with the idea of low-flying aircraft, including military jets, in the context of a September 11th event. Before we go further into this one, today's segment is brought to you by AviationSold.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSold.com. Now, back to Denver. I want to be careful here because this story has layers and the easy take doesn't do it justice. First, let's establish who United Airlines is in the context of September 11th. They are not just any carrier. They lost two aircraft that morning. United Flight 175 struck the South Tower of the World Trade Center at 8:43 in the morning. United Flight 93, bound from Newark to San Francisco, went down in a field outside Shanksville, Pennsylvania, after passengers fought back against the hijackers. 40 passengers and crew died on that flight. They died trying to prevent another target from being hit. When United Airlines plans a September 11th memorial flyover, it is not a marketing gesture. For the people inside that company who lived through that morning, who lost colleagues and felt everything shift beneath them, it is something else entirely. So the decision to cancel was not made lightly. I'd be surprised if it was. Now let's talk about the flyover itself. A Boeing 777 with F-16 escorts is not a quiet event. A 777 at low altitude produces a sound signature you feel before you hear. And F-16s, depending on configuration and power setting, can rattle windows from several miles out. Pilots know this. Air show coordinators know this. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, regulates these operations closely. Flyovers for public events require specific coordination, altitude approvals, and airspace management. The military aircraft involved would have come through the appropriate channels with the Air Force. These are not spontaneous decisions. There are weeks of planning, coordination with local authorities, NOTAMs for other traffic, time over target briefings. The crews who do these missions take them as seriously as any mission they fly. All of that work was done, and then the event was canceled. Here's what I find worth examining. The concern, as reported, appears to be at least partly rooted in the idea that low-flying aircraft are distressing in the context of September 11th, that the sound of a large jet overhead triggers something for some people. That is a real human response. I'm not going to dismiss it. September 11th left marks on people that don't follow logical patterns. A sound, a smell, a broadcast tone can bring someone back to where they were that morning in ways they cannot always predict or control. For people in the country who watched that coverage, who were in those cities, who lost someone, the association between aircraft and that day is not something that disappears because 25 years have passed. But I want to hold that against what aviation flyovers actually represent in this country's memorial culture. The missing man formation is one of the most solemn and recognized symbols in military and aviation tradition. Aircraft flying over a memorial site as a gesture of respect is not a modern idea. It goes back to the First World War. The symbolism of looking up, of an aircraft pulling away from formation and climbing alone into the sky, of the sound of engines overhead at a moment of remembrance, is woven into how this country honors its dead. The Blue Angels have flown at September 11th memorials. The Thunderbirds have flown at military funerals and national events for decades. The sound of those aircraft is the point. It is not incidental. It is the whole gesture. So what happened in Denver is, at minimum, a collision between two different understandings of what September 11th requires from us. One view says, mark this day loudly, visibly, with the tools of aviation and military tradition, because this is a day that demands a response proportional to its weight. The other view says, for some people in the community, the mechanics of that morning, the sound and sight of aircraft in an urban sky, cannot be fully separated from the trauma. And those people deserve a voice in how their community marks this day. Both of those things can be true simultaneously. What I notice in the aviation community's reaction to this story is a reflex toward frustration. I understand it. There is something that feels genuinely off about canceling a memorial gesture because the memorial itself causes discomfort. Memorials are supposed to be uncomfortable. That is part of what they do. They are supposed to make you feel the weight of what you are remembering, not buffer it. But I'd push back on the frustration a little because aviation has a public relations challenge that we don't always acknowledge honestly. The industry is trusted by hundreds of millions of passengers every year. The commercial aviation safety record in the United States is remarkable by any objective measure, and yet the image of commercial aircraft as anything other than benign transportation was permanently altered on September 11, 2001, for a segment of the population that has never fully recalibrated. That is not a failure of public perception. It is the direct result of what happened. And the aviation industry, including carriers like United, has spent 25 years navigating that reality in ways that are sometimes invisible from the outside. Changes to cockpit security procedures, changes to air traffic control coordination protocols, changes to how pilots communicate with cabin crew during unusual situations. The whole system was re-examined in the months after that morning. And much of what changed, we still live with. When a planned flyover generates enough community pushback to be canceled, that is information. It is not necessarily an indictment of the gesture itself, but it is worth understanding what it tells us about where we are 25 years on. United made a call. They decided that proceeding over the expressed concern of community members was not the right posture for a memorial event. You can disagree with that call. I think reasonable people can go either way on it. The families of the United crews who died that morning may have their own feelings about it, but I don't think it was made carelessly. There's one more dimension to this story before I move on. The people who planned this flyover had a genuine intention behind it, and the pilots who were going to fly that 777 and the Air Force aviators assigned to those F-16s were going to execute it with everything they had. Flyover crews take these missions seriously. There is no casual September 11th mission. There are briefings, altitude minimums, time over target coordination, radio procedures for the formation, contingency planning. The professionalism in that cockpit would have matched the weight of the occasion. To the crews who prepared for that mission, the aviation community sees the work that went into it. Whatever the community dynamics around the cancellation, the intent behind it deserved to be acknowledged, and I'm acknowledging it here. September 11th is the one day in the aviation calendar where our community sits in an unusual position. We fly the machines that were used as weapons. We love the machines that were used as weapons. And we have spent 25 years doing our part to rebuild something, even if we don't always call it that. Every pilot who participates in the Young Eagles program, every aviator who takes a neighbor up for their first flight on a clear Saturday morning, every air show that draws a crowd and reminds people that aviation is human ambition and wonder and skill, not just the worst morning of their collective lives. That is an ongoing project, a quiet one mostly, but it matters. A canceled flyover in Denver is one data point in that project, not a failure, not a scandal. A moment that shows us the work is ongoing and the distance hasn't all been covered yet. While we're on the topic of aviation and September 11th memorial events, there's a practical note worth addressing for anyone flying this week. If you are operating in or out of a Class Charlie or Class Bravo airport in the next 48 hours, expect higher than normal traffic. Airlines and charter operators typically add capacity around September 11th for memorial passengers, families traveling to ceremonies in New York, Pennsylvania, and Washington, D.C., and federal officials moving to and from events in the Capital Region. Ground delays, holding patterns, and traffic management initiatives are all in play. The airspace around Washington is especially active this time of year, given the restricted and prohibited areas surrounding the Capitol. If you have a flight in or out of the Mid-Atlantic corridor in the next 2 days, build extra time and pull the current NOTAMs and TFR lists before you taxi. The FAA's flight plan portal and the agency's official TFR page are your tools. Use them before you file and verify them again before engines start. Temporary flight restriction violations during high-profile national events are not a routine enforcement matter. They are treated with the seriousness the airspace demands. One more thing worth your attention before we close out. The EAA, the Experimental Aircraft Association, and its chapter network do something quiet every September that I think reflects the aviation community at its best. Local chapters across the country gather at small airports and grass strips to mark the anniversary in their own way. No fanfare, no press coverage. Just pilots who remember what happened on September 11th, 2001. Because aviation remembers, and who show up because showing up is what this community does. If your local chapter does something like that this week, Be part of it. If yours doesn't, maybe it's a conversation worth having. All right, sources today, Aero time for the United Denver story. The FAA's official systems for TFR and NOTAM data, AOPA and EAA publications for broader context. Find us at radiohanger.com, 25 years. This community carries that morning differently than most. Fly safe out there. I'm Tower.